This is Joe Castellano. The SportsVirus.com podcasts are expanding outside of the Bay Area. Now we proudly present the Seattle Mariners Grand Salami Podcast, featuring John Wells, the founder and publisher of Grand Salami Magazine, and other guests to talk Seattle Mariners baseball. And we are ready for our first Grand Salami Seattle Mariners podcast. I'm Joe Castellano. John Wells, the founder and publisher of Grand Salami Magazine, is with us as we kick off the 2015 season. And we're recording this on April Fool's Day, John. You know, we're a couple of baseball fools right here, so I guess it's appropriate, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, when I think of the Mariners, I think back over the off seasons that they've had under Jack Zarencic, and, you know, he's tried so hard. I remember there was one year, a few years back, where he seemed to win the off season, you know, and you looked at it and said, okay, the Mariners are real contenders. This time it really does seem for real, especially when they go out and get Nelson Cruz. I mean, that's the one big name. You know, they've always seemed to need a slugger in their lineup. Now that they have Robinson Cano, they've added Cruz. What does this do to the team? How legitimate are their chances? Because everybody is talking about how the Mariners look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they had the best pitching in baseball last year, and the offense was still pretty weak. And you know, they brought back, you know, pretty much their entire pitching staff, and made significant improvements on offense. You know, not just Cruz, but you know, at a couple of other key positions.
Well, the offense you mentioned, I mean, they really did struggle. They were 11th in the American League in runs scored last year, and Lloyd McLennan has come out and said that, and a lot of managers, I guess, think this way, that if they can score four or more runs a game, they're going to win a lot of games because of their pitching. Do you agree with that? Do you think they have enough offense now?
Yeah, I definitely think they have enough offense. You know, I think their goal is four runs a game, which is, you know, comes to somewhere around 700 runs. This team hasn't scored 700 runs since 2007, believe it or not.
Wow, yeah, and that's going to make a big difference. Tell us a little bit about what happened in spring training. You know, adding Cruz, obviously, that's big, but you need other players to step up, and Mike Zunino had a great spring. The catcher who really hasn't shown a whole lot with a bat his first couple of seasons in the major leagues, but he was putting up really good Cactus League numbers.
Yeah, aside from Chris Bryant, he's got the most home runs in the majors this spring, 7 home runs. You know, and he's hitting about .350, and you know, he provides, you know, great value with his defense. He's a top notch defensive catcher. You know, really controls the running game. You know, so even when he was hitting, you know, .199 last season with 22 homers, you know, he was still overall, because of his defense, he was a positive.
Yeah, just trying to get the batting average up. We know that he has the power to do it. When you look at that situation with Chris Bryant, you know, everybody around baseball really has been talking about it, because he really should have made the Cubs roster, but he's been sent down to the minor leagues. How does that affect, do you think, everybody else, every other team? You know, that rule, you wonder if it's going to stand, you know, if it'll be negotiated, because the Major League Players Union stepped up and wrote a, you know, made a statement that really kind of, I think it rubbed people the wrong way, because, you know, you have this this really in place already. Cubs made their decision. It's really, you know, it's kind of their decision of what they want to do, but the Players Association is trying to step in there.
Well, I mean, you know, the CBA is going to have to change, you know, otherwise teams are going to continue to do that, because I mean, they just need to keep him in the minors for 12 days, and they get an entire year of control at the end of, you know, they can now control him through 2021 if he just doesn't get that extra 12 days of service time. And it, you know, with a player like that, who, you know, they're saying he's going to be a, you know, a guy that's, you know, and by that point earning $20 million plus, you know, that's just too huge of a, you know, upside there, for a major league team to ignore.
Right, and we'll see how that affects the Cubs. I mean, without him in there for 12 days, is that really going to be a big deal? I mean, every game counts, of course. Let's get back to the Mariners and their pitching, since we were talking about that. And, you know, somebody else who really opened up eyes, and we kind of expected it, was Taijuan Walker. I mean, he's throwing shutout inning after shutout inning in the Cactus League and featuring a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. How does he fit into the rotation?
Well, he's going to start the season as a number five starter. You know, they're trying to limit his innings. They probably won't let him go beyond, 180 innings this year. He's still only 22 years old, and didn't pitch that many innings last year because he started the season on the DL. So he's going to be the number five starter. They're going to skip him from time to time. It'll be interesting because they're also going to be trying to limit the innings of James Paxton, who's another young up and comer.
What do you think about that? I mean, I don't know that limiting innings really prevents injury. I mean, you're still going to have your Tommy John surgeries around baseball. I mean, I know you don't want somebody to go out every year and throw 270 innings like Madison Bumgarner did last year. And, of course, they won the World Series. But 200 innings seems to be okay for a lot of pitchers. I mean, I know when you're young, you're trying to develop your arm. You don't want to burn a guy out. But if you have more than one pitcher in your rotation that you're limiting innings, isn't that going to tax the bullpen?
Well, it could tax the bullpen. They're also looking. They have Rowenis Elias, who, was real solid in 29 starts last year as a rookie. And, he was beaten out for the fifth starter spot by Walker in spring training. And he'll start the year in AAA. But they're expecting to bring him up at certain points in the year to give these other guys a break. It may not be a burden on the bullpen. They may be able to relieve that by, having this, sixth starter of sorts. Every team needs more than five starters to get through a season of 162 games. So they seem to be, have a good plan there on how to accomplish limiting the innings. I think it's not just about limiting the innings. It's more about having them be effective down the stretch and into the postseason, because that's their goal this year, is to get to the postseason. I mean, Lloyd McClendon has done a nice job, so far, limiting Felix Hernandez. He didn't let Felix Hernandez throw even one complete game last year. I mean, he had games where he'd thrown eight shutout innings and just needed to close the game out. And, McClendon went to the bullpen because he said again and again, hey, we need this guy to be sharp in September and the postseason if we can get there.
Yeah, and that, of course, is a major part of the manager job is, figuring out innings and who's going to be sharp at the end of the year. What about the bullpen? Similar cast of characters. Fernando Rodney definitely stepped up last year. It seemed like he took a step back a couple of years ago with Tampa Bay. He had that spectacular season in 2012. And then a couple of years ago, you wondered, he's still getting the saves, but his ERA was kind of up there. And then last year, he seemed to recover from that. What have you seen from him as the closer? Can he be one of the better closers in the league?
Yeah, he definitely can be. I mean, he makes things pretty interesting. His overall walk totals weren't bad last year, but he had individual outings where he was just all over the place. And, he walked a couple of guys, threw up a hit. And, it's just like a roller coaster. It's like, geez, are we going to get off this ride? Are we going to win this game? He ended up only blowing three saves all year and led the majors in saves with 48. The one issue to watch with him is he just turned 38. So he's a little long in the tooth, he could struggle, because of the advanced age.
Well, they have a couple other, pitchers in there that have closed before. So how much of an advantage is that?
Well, it's an advantage having those guys there, in case Rodney, really struggles. I mean, Lloyd McClendon loves his veterans. He's not going to take Rodney out of the closer role with a couple of bad games, It's going to take, probably a month and a half of just being terrible for him to even consider a move like that. In my opinion, he's got guys like Danny Farquhar and Tom Wilhelmsen who, have been successful as closers in the past, but the bullpen sets up real well with those guys in the setup role. You know, if you have to move one of those guys into the closing role, then it hurts the effectiveness of your entire bullpen.
Absolutely. When you look at the American League West, and the opener, by the way, April is 6th at Safeco against the Angels. You know, Angels, A's, those are the two teams that have been up there in the division. The Rangers have definitely taken a step back in recent years, and they've been banged up with injuries. But the A's traded a lot of players. I mean, it's a completely different roster now, whereas, you know, the Angels are similar, and Josh Hamilton, who knows when he'll be back. So do you favor the Mariners right now, just looking at the way the division shakes out?
Yeah, I mean, the Mariners really have to be considered the favorite after what they did in the offseason and you know, what the other teams didn't do. The Angels really didn't make any big additions, and I think they're going to miss Howie Kendrick, second baseman they traded to the Dodgers in the offseason, you know, more than people think.
Yeah.
He's one of the top second basemen in baseball, and you know, they look like they've got a four-man competition going in spring training for that spot, but you know, none of those guys is going to give them close to the production they were getting from Kendrick at second base.
How excited is the fan base?
Yeah, pretty excited. It's been a rough ride the last decade plus for Mariners fans. We had a couple of false starts, I guess you could call them. In both 2008 and 2010, the year before 2007 and 2009, they had winning seasons. They made big off-season moves in both of those seasons. One year they went out and traded for Eric Bedard, you know, trading Adam Jones and four other players. Another season they traded for Cliff Lee and signed Sean Figgins, who had been really the catalyst of that Angels offense. And the seasons following the when they made those moves, they tanked. They lost 101 games in both 2008 and 2010, and got their manager fired.
Yeah, well, hopefully this year it's, you know, they come through the way that it looks, the way that they can, at least on paper. Tell us a little bit about Grand Salami Magazine for this year, where people could pick it up, and what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, we sell them right at the ballpark, but it's also available by subscription. This will be our 20th year of publishing continuously. We do 6 issues a year. And it's available, you know, subscriptions and such are available on our website at www.grandsalami.net. And, you know, lots of information is available on the site about back issues. And there's a bunch of content from the magazine at the site as well.
And we are really pleased to have you on here, the sportsvirus.com and the Mariners podcast joining our podcast that we have already with the 49ers and the Giants. We're going to podcast periodically on the Mariners. So really pleased to have the first one on here and continue forward as we'll talk about the Mariners and hopefully a great season.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be part of it.
That's John Wells, the founder and publisher of Grand Salami Magazine. We'll have John and other guests throughout the season to talk Mariners baseball. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to the Grand Salami Seattle Mariners podcast on thesportsvirus.com.